Hey everybody, a quick announcement regarding videos moving forward. We know so much of life has moved virtually during the quarantine. As a student ministry though, we want to stay engaged with you and your family. And a big way we can do that is through virtual shepherd groups and video messages. We also realize though, with school being all online and so much more online, we don't want you to dread watching another video. Therefore, we're going to be working really hard to keep all of our videos under 25 minutes moving forward. We miss seeing you all in person. Thanks for watching and enjoy today.
Good morning and welcome to Reston Bible Church Senior High AM Gap. This would be our time together with all of you. I'm really excited that you guys have chosen to be with us today and to hear His Word. Today we're kind of between two different series. We just finished Love, Sex, and Dating. Today we're going to focus on one verse in Romans that I feel like all of us felt like, you know, really speaks to kind of where we're at right now. And then the following week, we're going to actually start our Senior Speak series, which I'm really excited about. You could be in prayer for the seniors who've asked to be considered and have been chosen to speak. And I know that's one of my favorite times, is just to really hear from you, our students, what God has been teaching you. And I think you guys like that as well. Let me pray right now and just ask God to guide our time. Lord Jesus, I thank you that in this time where we have to have a pause in our life, thank you for the way your word speaks to us. I thank you for the way that you continue to work in us. There is no barrier that keeps you from us. But God, you are pursuing us. You're using even all the things we're facing right now for your glory. God, I pray for our families, for our students, Lord, that during this time they would take hold of the grace that is theirs in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would enable them to go deep, to walk with you in a closer way, to realize how many things you've blessed them with that they may have overlooked, even their own family. And God, I pray that they would not just survive this time, but as you say, Lord, I pray that they would reign in life through Christ Jesus. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so the verse that we're going to be talking about today is Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So my son Joshua, he had gotten Playmobil toys a while ago. And if you don't know what Playmobil toys is, they're kind of like, sort of like bigger Legos. You don't totally build them, but there's little play sets. And he'd gotten somebody who had never been totally into them. Well, recently, during the quarantine, like, he's really gotten into them. Like, every morning he's like, Daddy, will you play with me? Will you play Playmobil with me? And so we make up all these stories and it's been fun. And for Easter, he got $20 from his grandparents. And, you know, Wendy and I decided that it would be cool for him to be able to choose a Playmobil set that he wants and order it off Amazon. That's what any good person does now. They order something off Amazon. So they were looking and looking, and they decided that this ice cream truck with a couple different little kids with it and the ice cream man would be the cool one to get. So he orders it, and we order it, and then realize, you know, Playmobil. Now, my son doesn't like this, but it is a non-essential good during this quarantine time. So it is not going to come in Amazon Prime two-day delivery. But I can tell you, my son was excited. So he orders it on, like, I think it was a Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, he wakes up right away at 7 o'clock a.m. He literally runs downstairs and he's like, is it in the mail? Is it there? And we're like, oh, bud, like, it's not going to come for at least 5 days. And so he's like, and the way he thinks about things is, he thinks about days as in, I wake up, I play, and I go to sleep. Like, that's how he thinks of a day. So we had to talk him through, okay, Joshua, so you're going to have to wake up, play, and go to sleep for 5 days, and then it's going to come. So he wakes up the second day, and he's like, it's tomorrow, right? It's tomorrow. It's going to be here. And so we had to help him do this and, like, really think about this by, on his calendar, we have a little calendar for him. We marked out each day, and then we put a big star on the day that it's supposed to come. So he was waking up each day, putting a star on there, and he was really excited for it to come. And so he actually did a really good job being patient during this time, a lot more patient than I am. And it was cool to see him have this hope that this Playmobil set was going to come in. Like, he knew, like, there was no doubt in his mind. So in one sense, he wasn't as stressed about it. He wasn't as anxious about it because it might sound silly, but his hope was an expectant, confident hope. He knew that it was going to happen. He knew that mom and dad have ordered from Amazon a ton of times and it always came in. And so he had this hope that it was going to happen. And I tell you this story because I think this is a good picture for us to understand what biblical hope is all about. It's looking to the past to know the future and be content in the meantime. Joshua looked at a past scope. Amazon's always delivered to mom and dad. So I know that it's going to come for me in the future. And therefore, in the meantime, I can be content. I can be like, I know it's going to come. And you know, right now, for I would say almost all of us, to some degree or another, some more, some a little less, we are all hoping in the president's words, in the words of Dr. Fauci. None of us would have ever known that name before this time, but now we know it. It's a household name. I actually saw him on ESPN. I'm just kidding. He wasn't on ESPN, but it's such a household name. And we're all hoping, if we're honest, in these men's words, that when they say, okay, the virus is going down, oh, we have this sigh of relief. Okay, the economy is going to start again, oh, we have this sigh of relief. Oh, I can go back to school. And there's a grief and a moan from all of you guys. But for some of you, I think you are legitimately hoping that school would even take place again. You know, hopefully next year that it would. There's this hope. But the interesting thing is the president and the governors and Dr. Fauci, like, they're all going off medical data that they get from what's going on, and they get it from different, you know, the hospitals, and the president gets these things and he has his advisors, and their stuff is like, it's based on fact, but so much of it is based on projections. It's not based on a confident hope. And so we are so hoping that we can get back to normal life, but I'm not sure that's a full, I mean, we know it's going to happen in one sense, but I'm not sure it's a total confident expectation. It's kind of on shaky ground. But biblical hope is truly different. It rests in the trustworthiness of the God of hope. That's what this verse said. May the God of hope. And so our confident expectation is based in the God of hope to keep his promises. So God, on the other hand, from President Trump and Dr. Fauci and all the things coming out in the news right now, provides us with a hope that is founded on something that provides sufficient basis for confidence in its fulfillment. And so this hope that we have in the God of hope, it refers back really to the promises of God in Scripture, in the Bible, that God is desiring to bring hope to the Jews and the Gentiles through the Messiah. This is what Matthew 5:17-18 says. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. And when he says not a dot or iota, he's referring back to the original language that the Bible was written in. And it was these really little small dashes that were in there in the language. And he's saying not even those little ones will pass away. That is how confident God is in his scripture. So let me just tell you a few things that the hope that we have is not uncertain, but is certain as we see that God has been faithful to his promises in Scripture. God said he'll never flood the earth again. Check. It's never happened again. He would make Abraham a great nation. Check. It happened. The Israelites became so plentiful that the Egyptians became scared of them. And ultimately that we as Gentiles would be accepted into the faith, and now Christians are worldwide. Make him into a great nation. That he would bring them out of Egypt, the Israelites out of Egypt. Check, it happened. That he would conquer the promised land. Check, it happened. That he would send the Messiah. Check, it happened. Jesus saying he would die on the cross and rise again. Jesus said it and it happened. Check. Jesus changing the hearts and minds as people believe in him. Check, I've seen it in my own life. Jesus changing me. I've seen it in other people's life. He changes them. God's promises are certain. It is a confident hope and expectation we have that God will fulfill his promises. So think about this. We may think God has left us hopeless in this time. I would say the exact opposite. How often do we actually turn our backs on God, and yet God never turns his back on us? That is truly the trustworthy God of hope. God is truly the God of hope.
Thank you, Lee, for kicking off and talking to us about the God of hope. I'm going to take the next step in the verse where it goes, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to focus on that aspect of believing, trusting in God as the means to actually take on this hope. And it is the God of hope that desires us to be filled with all joy and peace. But this verse also challenges us as to be able to evaluate what we're actually trusting in. Because if it's not in God, we will be disappointed. As Americans, we grow up with the thought of, you know, we can be self-made people. We can handle it. You know, Bob the Builder. Yes, I can. You know, and being self-reliant has its good qualities. But our daily optimism, when I think about it, is really based on my ability to work hard, my ability to outthink problems or obstacles, my resources, or even my luck and the experience I've had that, you know, hey, things generally just always work out fine, so I don't need to worry about it. But these are not working right now because so much is like out of our control. And I want to let you and I in on an illusion. It's the illusion of control that we think we have. In fact, God holds all things together, and by His grace, everything doesn't fall apart. But it is not just because we're so awesome or, you know, what are just random facts that things work out. I want to give you an illustration. I have led a lot of teams to England over the years. I love going there. We have the opportunity to go into classrooms and teach, and that's been great. But I remember this one trip where after a long 6-hour flight, and we were all so tired, and we come into Heathrow, and you know, we're trying to adjust because we didn't sleep hardly on the plane, and now we're 6 hours ahead, so we got to go through a full day. We don't really get any sleep. And so we get in, and I leave the team, and I go over to the rental car place where I'd already, you know, worked, you know, months and months ahead earlier, setting up to get two vans so that we could drive our 20 people from there a couple hours down to the southern part of England in Portsmouth. So I remember getting over there, and the guy looked up our stuff, and he looks at me, and he goes, I have bad news. He says, we don't have vans. Matter of fact, we've never had vans. I've got nothing for you. I'm like, all right, there's good news. And, you know, typically, I should have freaked out. I should have gotten angry. God was good, and I realized, you know, it's late at that point, and they have no ability to do anything for me. I had zero options. So the thought that overtook me, having done this a few times, thankfully seeing God at work, the thought that overtook me was God wants to demonstrate His power to me, to our team, maybe even to the people we're going to reach out to. And I felt like He was saying, sit back, relax, and watch me work. And I was like, all right. And if you were to ask my wife, that is not typically my response. I'm typically, you know, never say die. We can work this out. But God had just given me, hopefully, the wisdom, but the insight to go, this is a God thing. He's at work here. So I did make a few calls. I did try to, you know, talk to the administrative people over the, you know, rental car place to see if there's anything they could do for me. And then, you know, we just really waited. And after a couple of hours, it was interesting, at one point the guy said, hey, come here, and he called me over and he said, here, this phone is for you. Oh, by the way, I had forgotten to mention that even without cell phones, I had figured out a way to try to contact our team back at the airport as they were waiting for us and said, please pray, which they did. So a couple hours later, I get this phone call and I pick it up, and it's a guy on the other line who introduces himself as the president of the parent company that owned all the, you know, rental car things. And he was actually calling from the West Coast of the U.S., and he was calling to say, hey, I am so sorry. We will have what you need within the hour and get you down to Portsmouth. And tomorrow morning, we'll make sure you have two vans. And I thanked him. And I was like, that is so awesome. You know, that they could have just said, hey, tough luck, buddy. Try someplace else. We could have had no options at all. But because we leaned on the Lord, He showed up in a way that was huger, bigger than I ever could have imagined. And that set the tone for that whole 2 weeks of ministry that we had, that our God is big, and He actually does care, and He provides. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If our trust is in him, the God of hope, he can and does give us peace and joy in believing. We will always face trials, struggles, issues, both small and large. It is who and what we trust in that really makes the difference. Will we choose earthly things, or will we choose God to help us in our time of need? Philippians 4 kind of adds to that and says, you know, be anxious for nothing. Zero. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God, which goes beyond our ability to understand it, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So during this time of distancing, where you have suffered the loss of normal, the ability to be with friends, you've lost spring break trips, proms, graduations, and more, do not look at the earthly things, but believe in Jesus to use and redeem this time. Allow him to deeply work in your life to give you the peace and the joy that is yours. Romans 14:7 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Let the joy of the Lord be your strength.
So that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is how the verse ends, and I think it's important to really recognize what is the power of the Holy Spirit. We often refer to the Holy Spirit as it, when that's not right. The Holy Spirit is he. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. We see the Holy Spirit from the beginning of Scripture, hovering over the waters before the earth is even created, before we are even present. The Holy Spirit is there, and we are made in his image as we are made in the Lord's image. And we have access to the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:11, it says, "If the Spirit of him who raises Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." The Holy Spirit can dwell in us through Jesus Christ. If we accept him as our Savior, we have access to the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is amazing. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and that is something that we can abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are a dwelling place for the Spirit, just as God describes the temple in Scripture. In 1 Peter, it says that we are being built up as a spiritual house. So we do not have to persevere on our own strength, but by the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, we can get through anything. Christ does not give us trials or obstacles in life just to see how we fare, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome and abound in hope. And I think that that is amazing and something as we as believers can really take joy in and hope in. In Ephesians 3:16 through 21, I think that this is expressed more fully. What does it look like to actually extend this power of the Holy Spirit and the abundance of hope? Ephesians 3:16 through 21 says, "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. I mean, there is a work going on within us, and we are dwelt with the Holy Spirit, and we have this power and an access, and we can abound in hope in that. Our hope and joy comes from God dwelling in us and strengthening us. So what does it really mean to have access to this power? What does it mean to really dwell in the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit? And I love this illustration of, if all people are a glass of milk, when someone accepts Christ as their Savior, they receive the Holy Spirit. And so it's like pouring chocolate syrup in milk. But unless you really pursue the Lord, if you walk in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5 talks about walking in step with the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, unless you are in prayer, unless you are communicating with the Lord, you are spending time with Him, and you are trying to know Him and spending time in the Word, then you're not filled with the Spirit. You are just milk with chocolate. But we stir the milk by actually spending time with the Lord. And then it has a new flavor. It has a new texture, color. Everything about it is different, the taste, the look. And I think we see that in believers as people are really accessing the Spirit, as they are growing in their faith and getting to know the Lord. They look different. They appear different. And that is what it looks like to actually access the power of the Holy Spirit, to be dwelt and filled with the Spirit and access that power. So we are not called to persevere on our own, but to be dwelt with the Holy Spirit and access that power. And in that, we can abound in a great hope.
All right, well, I hope you've heard today that hope is tangible. Like, it's something that you literally can feel and know and see it come true. Just like my son. By the way, his Playmobil did come, and he was very excited. So this week in your shepherd group, what we'd love for you to discuss about is this idea of, where are you finding your hope? Because there's been a lot of things, as Bob had already said, things that are lost, expectations that are broken, you know, all kinds of different things that are going on. We'd love to hear from you. Where are you finding your hope in this moment? You know, where are you taking hold of that tangible hope of Christ? So what we'd love for you to do is to actually have your leader film you, or you film yourself explaining, hey, maybe this is what's been hard. This is where I've lost something, but this is where I'm finding my hope. This is how I see Jesus giving me hope. It doesn't have to be anything massively profound.